Part 3. In this part, you will hear two segments from a radio program. After each segment, you will hear six questions about it. Before each segment begins, you will have time to review the questions. You will hear each segment twice. Then you will hear the questions once. Choose the correct answer A, B, or C. Look at the questions, then listen to the first segment. Now you will hear the first segment.
iRobot, a robot company in Massachusetts, recently announced the construction of ConnectR, a robot that allows you to virtually visit family and friends anytime you want. Stacy Walker reports.
iRobot has launched a series of successful robots to help with housework. The Scuba mops floors, the Vero cleans pools, and the Roomba vacuums. But ConnectR stands quite apart from its siblings. Robotics engineer Oscar Owens is here to tell us why.
Rather than serving a strictly utilitarian function like doing housework, ConnectR was created for social purposes. It allows someone with internet access to roam your house as if they were actually there. And although your initial thought might be that it's creepy, what ConnectR actually does is allow far-off relatives and late working parents to stay connected to their families, look in on their houses while they're vacationing, and, when they get the hang of it, play fetch with their dog or hide-and-seek with their children.
From what I know, ConnectR is based on the Roomba design, is highly mobile, and won't tip over easily. This means that people don't have to stop what they are doing to have a conversation with someone remotely. The ConnectR will just move around accordingly. But how does it work, Oscar?
ConnectR is equipped with two high-resolution cameras which form a single feed and can move up and down 220 degrees and 360 degrees horizontally. Using a broadband wireless internet connection and voice over internet protocol, the two-way audio stream can carry communications remotely. The whole process becomes possible through the installation of specialized software onto the user's computer. The user can control the robot's motion remotely with a joystick or even with a mouse and keyboard. ConnectR comes with a rechargeable battery, and when it begins to wind down, it will make its way back to the home base where it can recharge.
Critics, however, point to the problems of ConnectR. Security is one. To access the audio files, users are required to enter a personal identification number. This information is supposed to be guarded as a secret by the family. But the sad truth is that family secrets do have a way of being leaked to non-family members. Also, ConnectR features very little autonomous programming and has to be controlled by the user. In other words, it has very little intelligence of its own and relies heavily on the user. On top of that, although ConnectR is a means of keeping family members connected, unwanted visitors like hackers or intruders may interfere. The problem is easily remedied using the ConnectR's privacy mode, which shuts off the robot's cameras and audio. But this will mean that the homeowners won't be able to access monitoring information provided by the robot.
We must always remember that technology is not foolproof, especially if the internet is involved. This should not, however, discourage people from using it. iRobot, the company behind ConnectR, is definitely taking steps to get around the problems. But until the product has fully entered the market and market research comes in, we can't really know if the world is ready to adopt this social robot.
Now you will hear the segment again.
iRobot, a robot company in Massachusetts, recently announced the construction of ConnectR, a robot that allows you to virtually visit family and friends anytime you want. Stacy Walker reports.
iRobot has launched a series of successful robots to help with housework. The Scuba mops floors, the Vero cleans pools, and the Roomba vacuums. But ConnectR stands quite apart from its siblings. Robotics engineer Oscar Owens is here to tell us why.
Rather than serving a strictly utilitarian function like doing housework, ConnectR was created for social purposes. It allows someone with internet access to roam your house as if they were actually there. And although your initial thought might be that it's creepy, what ConnectR actually does is allow far-off relatives and late-working parents to stay connected to their families, look in on their houses while they're vacationing, and, when they get the hang of it, play fetch with their dog or hide-and-seek with their children.
From what I know, ConnectR is based on the Roomba design, is highly mobile, and won't tip over easily. This means that people don't have to stop what they are doing to have a conversation with someone remotely. The ConnectR will just move around accordingly. But how does it work, Oscar?
ConnectR is equipped with two high-resolution cameras which form a single feed and can move up and down 220 degrees and 360 degrees horizontally. Using a broadband wireless internet connection and voice over internet protocol, the two-way audio stream can carry communications remotely. The whole process becomes possible through the installation of specialized software onto the user's computer. The user can control the robot's motion remotely with a joystick or even with a mouse and keyboard. ConnectR comes with a rechargeable battery, and when it begins to wind down, it will make its way back to the home base where it can recharge.
Critics, however, point to the problems of ConnectR. Security is one. To access the audio files, users are required to enter a personal identification number. This information is supposed to be guarded as a secret by the family. But the sad truth is that family secrets do have a way of being leaked to non-family members. Also, ConnectR features very little autonomous programming and has to be controlled by the user. In other words, it has very little intelligence of its own and relies heavily on the user. On top of that, although ConnectR is a means of keeping family members connected, unwanted visitors like hackers or intruders may interfere. The problem is easily remedied using the ConnectR's privacy mode, which shuts off the robot's cameras and audio. But this will mean that the homeowners won't be able to access monitoring information provided by the robot.
We must always remember that technology is not foolproof, especially if the internet is involved. This should not, however, discourage people from using it. iRobot, the company behind ConnectR, is definitely taking steps to get around the problems. But until the product has fully entered the market and market research comes in, we can't really know if the world is ready to adopt this social robot.
Number 39. What is the report mainly about? Number 40. What does the phrase "it's creepy" imply about the robot? Number 41. According to the expert, when can users play with their dog or their children? Number 42. What is the remarkable feature of ConnectR? Number 43. What is absolutely essential for the robot to be operated? Number 44. What is the problem if users activate ConnectR's privacy mode? Look at the questions, then listen to the second segment. Now you will hear the second segment.
Recent archaeological excavations in Istanbul, Turkey, unearthed remains of 37 exceptionally preserved Byzantine shipwrecks, 8 of which are an important new source of information on Byzantine shipbuilding and the maritime commerce, Mark Fields reports.
Marine archaeologist Martha Simmons is here to tell us more about the shipwrecks discovered at a site called Yenikapi in what used to be a port of the ancient city of Byzantium. The ships date back to the 5th to 11th centuries, a time of major developments in ship construction and maritime technology. Isn't that right, Martha?
That's right, Mark. And because they are so well preserved, we have been able to conclude with a fair amount of certainty that shipbuilders of the time were using a more complex process than previously thought. In particular, our research revealed that the ships exhibited elements of two shipbuilding methods. In one method, the shell of a ship was built first, and in the other, the ship's skeleton was constructed first, and then the planks were attached. 8 ships were thoroughly examined, and 6 of them were classified as round ships, which means that they were primarily or entirely sail-propelled. Most of these round ships are designed as merchant ships and are built to maximize cargo capacity and sailing qualities such as maneuverability. All but one of the round ships found were sailed with a single mast fitted with a lateen or settee sail, and they would have been steered with a pair of quarter rudders. As I said earlier, the first method of shipbuilding comprised a shell-first construction sequence in which the ship's planking is assembled prior to the insertion of framing. Consequently, the form of the vessel was primarily dependent upon the shaping of the planking over the course of construction. This shipbuilding method required great skill and was passed on from one generation of shipwrights to the next through many years of practice, with little or no reliance on written plans or formulas. By the end of the first millennium, however, most Mediterranean shipwrights had apparently transitioned to a skeleton-based philosophy, which was centered around the ship's internal framework. Under this philosophy, the ship frames are the first to be built using molds, proportions, or geometric progressions, and the planking is added thereafter. As a result, it's the skeleton that serves to dictate the form of the vessel.
And each of these 8 ships constitutes an example of a mixed mode of construction where both methods are incorporated. This means that shipwrights slowly simplified shipbuilding techniques, adapting to the often harsh economic conditions of their times by retaining some aspects of older technology and traditions while experimenting with or modifying others. Once excavation and restoration procedures are complete, the remains of the ships will go on display in Istanbul, as they are of great significance to shipbuilding history.
Now you will hear the segment again.
Recent archaeological excavations in Istanbul, Turkey, unearthed remains of 37 exceptionally preserved Byzantine shipwrecks, 8 of which are an important new source of information on Byzantine shipbuilding and the maritime commerce, Mark Fields reports.
Marine archaeologist Martha Simmons is here to tell us more about the shipwrecks discovered at a site called Yenikapi in what used to be a port of the ancient city of Byzantium. The ships date back to the 5th to 11th centuries, a time of major developments in ship construction and maritime technology. Isn't that right, Martha?
That's right, Mark. And because they are so well preserved, we have been able to conclude with a fair amount of certainty that shipbuilders of the time were using a more complex process than previously thought. In particular, our research revealed that the ships exhibited elements of two shipbuilding methods. In one method, the shell of a ship was built first, and in the other, the ship's skeleton was constructed first, and then the planks were attached. 8 ships were thoroughly examined, and 6 of them were classified as round ships, which means that they were primarily or entirely sail-propelled. Most of these round ships are designed as merchant ships and are built to maximize cargo capacity and sailing qualities such as maneuverability. All but one of the round ships found were sailed with a single mast fitted with a lateen or setty sail, and they would have been steered with a pair of quarter rudders. As I said earlier, the first method of shipbuilding comprised a shell-first construction sequence in which the ship's planking is assembled prior to the insertion of framing. Consequently, the form of the vessel was primarily dependent upon the shaping of the planking over the course of construction. This shipbuilding method required great skill and was passed on from one generation of shipwrights to the next through many years of practice, with little or no reliance on written plans or formulas. By the end of the first millennium, however, most Mediterranean shipwrights had apparently transitioned to a skeleton-based philosophy, which was centered around the ship's internal framework. Under this philosophy, the ship frames are the first to be built using molds, proportions, or geometric progressions, and the planking is added thereafter. As a result, it's the skeleton that serves to dictate the form of the vessel.
And each of these 8 ships constitutes an example of a mixed mode of construction where both methods are incorporated. This means that shipwrights slowly simplified shipbuilding techniques, adapting to the often harsh economic conditions of their times by retaining some aspects of older technology and traditions while experimenting with or modifying others. Once excavation and restoration procedures are complete, the remains of the ships will go on display in Istanbul, as they are of great significance to shipbuilding history.
Number 45. According to the archaeologist, what were round ships? Number 46. What was important in the design of merchant ships? Number 47. What does the archaeologist say about planking in the first method of shipbuilding? Number 48. What is true about the first method of shipbuilding? Number 49. How did the second method of shipbuilding differ from the first? Number 50. What prompted shipwrights to change methods of shipbuilding? End of the listening test.